Welcome to the Vanessa G Fitcast. If you think eating less is the answer to getting lean, or that you have to choose between having donuts and wine or having a body you love, well then girl, you are in the right place. Chances are you've fallen victim to diet culture's terrible advice on how to eat and exercise. But don't worry, this podcast is going to bring you actionable information so you can start transforming your body without giving up your life. I'm Vanessa Gillette, founder and head coach of Vanessa G Fitness and Nutrition. This podcast was born from my passion for helping all women create bodies they feel confident in. Thank you for tuning in and trusting me to support and guide you. Now let's do this. Welcome back to the Vanessa G Fitcast. I'm Vanessa Gillette, and here with me, as always, is
Omar Pozos. What's up, you guys?
All right, Omar, today's episode is going out to my horse girls. Hey, ladies. Yeah.
Wait, you got to do the, wait. No, not that one.
That was wrong.
There you go.
All right, that works. But we're going to talk a little bit about, you know, how horse girls should actually be working out to really look their best, feel their best, and also perform their best. What kind of sport-specific training should we be doing to maximize our abilities to ride? And stick around to the end. I'm even going to give you guys a full breakdown on a workout that you can do even during show season. But first, you know, I kind of want to start with just a little bit of reflection. So as most of our listeners know, if they've listened to my full story back in episode 1 and 2, I went to school at the University of Georgia and I was riding on their equestrian team there. And, you know, being at a big school like UGA, D1 school, we had an amazing weight room. And so we, of course, worked with the strength and conditioning specialists there, the same ones that worked with every sport at UGA. And they would have us be doing, you know, a few workouts a week. We would typically do like 2 cardio days and 2 days in the weight room doing weightlifting type things. And while I was there, you know, I always just would sit back and wonder, like, is what we're doing really actually helping us in our riding abilities? Because I can tell you right now too, you know, we had several different coaches during the time that I was there, strength and conditioning coaches, and most of them just did not take us seriously at all.
I was going to ask you that because I'll say it, you know, equestrian girls are athletes.
Thank you.
Mike, I guess
I don't have to cancel you.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't even know if I've ever asked you this, but when you guys have like your strength and conditioning coaches, do they walk you guys through like the weight room and through like good techniques on lifting and stuff like that? Or do they just kind of give you a written workout and just kind of let you have at it? How does that work?
So yes to both answers or both questions. It really depended on the coach. To give them credit, so we typically were having workouts in big groups, at least while I was there. So you couldn't really get a ton of individualized attention because it was just you were working out in a really big group with one coach, maybe two.
When you say really big group, what is it, like 20, 30 people?
It depended. But, you know, there were times where, yeah, there was maybe 15, 20 people with one coach. So doing a quick workout, like you're probably not going to get much individual attention.
And the reason I'm asking is because I've heard it like time and time again from girls in general. They're like, you know, I was a D1 athlete or a D2 athlete or whatever. And then, you know, I had these routines that I had gotten used to, but as soon as I left school, like I did not know my left from my right.
Yeah, when I had no idea what to do.
Right.
Yeah. And so that's the thing is like when I was thinking back on those workouts, it was never really explained to us like what we should be doing or like if our workouts were even effective or anything. And, you know, during that time, most of us were definitely under the impression of like, all right, like our workouts, they aren't going to really affect our ability to ride. You know, like when we would get into the height of the season, like getting closer to the SEC championships and nationals, we actually would do less in the weight room and the workouts because we didn't want that to affect our riding negatively.
And do you think that's true? Do you think that would have affected you guys negatively?
So yes, in some ways, yes. And I'll kind of get to that here, but what really I'm getting at here is like, we didn't know what we should be doing. So most of us were very misguided. We just only were interested in working out to help us get skinnier, essentially. Yeah. So what did we do? We would kind of half-ass our way through the team workouts. We had more of a focus on cardio because we thought that that's what we should be doing. And then most of us, I mean, I say most of us, but I guess it probably depended on, you know, what year you were on the team and just what kind of the culture was like. But I do remember a lot of us would also do our own additional workouts outside of the team workouts. Like we would go and find, you know, some swipe workout on Instagram. I think actually maybe Instagram actually wasn't really the best place for that. It was probably more Pinterest at that time. We would go on Pinterest, find like a little HIIT workout to do and, you know, just find like a random workout to do. Or we would go to like a spin class somewhere. Or we would just go for like a nice long run or something. But really, you know, we did that because we were in college and we just thought like, if I do more cardio, that will wash out the drinking and things that I do also. And that'll just have me have the best physique that I need to also look good on a horse, to have that nice long lean picture that everybody wants. And we kind of thought that like, if we lift weights, that's going to make us bulky. It's going to make us big, like we're just going to grow big muscles, not like lean toned muscle. And we didn't want that to like make us look big on a horse.
When in reality, had you guys maybe paid a little bit more attention to your strength and conditioning coaches and crushed those workouts instead of, you know, doing your own and probably built up your metabolism, you probably would have been a better athlete.
Definitely. That way, definitely. Right? Yeah. So of course it totally depends on the strength and conditioning coach and how they're going about things. But that's another thing that I've found is that most personal trainers or strength and conditioning coaches don't really know the best way to adjust a training plan for an equestrian to actually help with their riding. Because you have to remember that, like you said, it's a sport. And with any sport, if the goal is for your training to complement your performance in that sport, then you can adjust the way we train to make it more sport specific. Just like if you are a runner, we're going to be doing a lot more lower body stability work to support your joints and make you a better runner. Like we're not going to go and build a giant upper body because that would just weigh you down and wouldn't make you a better runner.
Yeah.
So it's like you can adjust training to both complement creating a better physique, more toned, leaner, nice, you know, defined lean muscle, while also improving your performance as a rider.
What would you say would be the biggest muscle group that is most effective for an equestrian rider? Is it equestrian rider? Am I saying that right?
Yeah.
I'm trying to get brownie points rider. Here.
I would say your legs.
Okay.
Definitely. But really, like, the thing, too, about lifting is that when you consistently lift weights and you spend that time, you know, working on building that muscle mass, you are going to be able to maintain the results that you get from lifting with a minimum amount of volume, essentially. So volume meaning like how many workouts are you doing? How many reps and sets in those workouts are you doing? That's your training volume. It's the amount of training that you're doing. When we talk about lifting weights, when we talk about strength training, it's like an investment. You are, every time you lift weights, you are putting like a little bit of a deposit in your health, in your muscle mass, in your just overall longevity in your body. And when you do that, you can pull back on how much you're training. You can actually do less over time and still maintain the results that you created because you've put those deposits in. And muscle memory is a real thing. It's the same reason that like if you have been riding most of your life and you've developed into a great rider, you can take time off from riding, go back and get on a horse. And even if it's been a long time, your muscles know what to do. You have that muscle memory built. It's the same thing with lifting weights. Now, when we talk about cardio, and remember what I was saying, most of us girls, when we were on the UGA equestrian team, we were more interested in doing cardio because we thought that would improve our physique. So we thought it would just be better for us. Cardio is like a reverse investment. It's like a, it's almost like a liability. And I don't really want to say that because I don't want to imply that cardio is bad. It's not bad. It's great for cardiovascular health. It's It's great for your heart. But when you do cardio with the intention of improving your body composition, you're going to need to do more and more over time to continue to create results.
Well, I think that's the key point there, Vanessa, is you said cardio is great for cardiovascular health. Mm-hmm. But when you're looking to change your body composition, it's not necessarily the best driver to get you to where you want to go.
Exactly. And this is because, like, you know, think about it. If you do something like running, what is happening is, like, over time, like, if you haven't run in a while, you go out and be like, all right, I'm going to go for a run. Maybe you hit a mile run and you're like, that was really hard. I feel really out of shape. Like, that was tough. I couldn't go very fast. Like, I'm breathing really heavy. That felt really hard. You do that, you probably burn a lot of calories because it was really hard on your body to do that. But if every day you go out and you do that mile run, your cardiovascular system is going to adapt to it. That adaptation is that your heart is getting better at that. You can now run a faster mile with just not feeling as fatigued from it. And guess what? Now you're burning less calories. Now you're not doing as much. So now if you want to do that with the intention of improving your physique, you're going to have to start running 2 miles every day. Now, you know, over time, same thing, your body's going to adapt. Now you're going to have to increase it to 3 to 4 miles and so on and so forth. If you want to continue getting like the same result for your effort that you're putting in, but simply put, like equestrians, like horse girls, we simply just don't have time to do more. Like some of us have horses at home that we're taking care of morning and night. And it's like, man, I have to go feed. I have to go clean stalls. Like, when am I supposed to go for this 4 mile run? You know, maybe some of us have our horses like nearby it, you know, if we live close to our horse trainers. And so we're trying to spend all the time we can outside of our work and just any free time we have trying to get to the barn and going and riding and practicing. Or, you know, some of us, even if we don't have like our horse nearby or anything, like if we're still actively showing at some point or another, there's going to be a time in your show season where you are gone at a horse show for 1, 2, even longer, more than that, weeks at a time. So there's going to be times where going to the gym and maintaining your like 5 days of HIIT cardio workouts or your daily long runs is not going to be feasible.
Yeah, imagine trying to do all that stuff and then be like, oh, I got to go for a 6 mile run. I'll be back in an hour and a half or however long
that takes. So when it comes to horse girls, we need to be able to almost be able to do less and still maintain our results. And with strategic strength training, you can actually do that. You can leave, go to a horse show. You can go to the Congress, which is for my AQHA girls. It's our like biggest show of the year. You know, it's like a month long in October and you're probably there for 1, 2 weeks at a time.
The whole show is a month long?
Mm-hmm.
Holy
yeah.
Crap.
But like you could be there for 2 weeks and you're probably not going to hit the gym during that 2 weeks. So you need to be able to, you know, lighten your volume, do less working out, and not have to worry about losing your results. Strength training can do that for you. So, you know, what does that look like? I'll give an example here of one of my clients. So she's going to the Congress this year. But, you know, we're recording this in early September. So we actually just talked about this with her. I had in her check-ins recently, we've been talking a lot about her plan for the Congress and wanting to make sure that we set some really realistic goals to help her maintain the progress that she's made. So some of the goals that we decided on is she's going to do 1 banded workout each week. You know, we normally have her on 3 strength sessions that she does in the gym every week, plus 1 optional cardio workout. So now we're going to be dropping it back to doing just 1 workout with resistance bands that she can do from her hotel room or from her trailer if she's staying on site. But, you know, we also know that she won't have really any issues with getting her steps in because if you've ever been to the Congress, you know that you're doing a lot of walking for the most part when you're going around. So we're not super worried about her total amount of movement. We just want to have 1 solid strength workout to help her maintain that lean muscle. Her second goal is going to also support her movement because her second goal is simply going to be skip the golf cart rides as much as possible. Then, you know, more than that, I think we set a third goal of she's going to simply maintain drinking 1 gallon of water every day. You know, we've been working together for a while now, so we figured out that she does have a little bit of a pattern of when she goes to horse shows, she kind of just falls off her routine of drinking a lot of water. And that, you know, can really affect your body composition, can affect how you feel, can cause you to overeat. And so she just realized, like, hey, you know, I actually feel so much better when I prioritize drinking my water, getting in a good gallon of water per day. So we're going to make that a goal. And then her last goal is just to limit fair food to, I think she decided, twice per week. You know, if you've ever been to the Congress, you know that junk food alley, like, it is super freaking tempting to just live on all the amazing junk food, all the fair food. But she pretty much recognized that, like, you know, in the past years of going to the Congress, she has given into some fair food quite a bit before. And she knows that she does not feel her best after she eats that.
What kind of fair food are we talking about here? Are we talking like hot dogs and waffle, or not waffle fries, funnel cakes and all that
stuff?
Oh,
yeah, all kinds of things. It's basically like if you go to like a state fair or a county fair, it's like all those setups.
Fried Oreos.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, probably not the best for performance.
Yeah. So basically with her, like, we just kind of came up with a solid plan to support that goal. Like, she's going to pack her usual horse show travel snacks that we've come up with. Plus, she's going to, you know, make some really delicious and healthy soups in the crock pot. Like, that's an easy thing to have on hand at the stalls, nice and keep you warm because it gets really cold at the Congress. And, you know, like, another thing, too, that I think is really important for her, and I know this was big for me when I, back in the day, used to struggle with this stuff, is that really understanding that the way we operate with our nutrition is with total food freedom. Nothing is off limits for us when we are at home and living our daily, day-to-day lives. And because we know that nothing is off limits, we know that if we want something, we are allowed to have it. Nothing is bad. That removes all temptation when you get to the show and you're like, you know, a lot of people get into just a vacation mindset where you're like, ooh, I'm not home.
It's
I'm
that
on vacation.
All or nothing mentality, right? Mm-hmm.
I need to have the funnel cake. I need to have the fried Oreos because this is stuff that I'm like would never let myself have at home. But instead, you can take a step back and ask yourself, do I really actually want this right now? And maybe the answer is no, because you might be like, actually, I don't want this. I know it's not going to make me feel well, and I need to go ride later. And I also know that, hey, if I still want this next week when I'm back home, I can go find somewhere that sells funnel cakes and I can go have a freaking funnel cake.
How funny is that point that the more structure you have in your life, the more structure and the more planning that you do, the more freedom you get with your life, right? So if you have a plan where you're like, look, in my diet or in my nutrition plan, you know, I had ice cream yesterday. I had pancakes the day before that. So then because you've got that plan and you've been following it accordingly, when you get to a situation like what you're saying, you've got, you know, hot dogs, waffle, I keep saying waffle fries, but I'm sure they have waffle fries. when you get to a situation like that, you're like, oh my God, I'm not, you know, like a teenager or a kid around a candy store because I can already fit it in my plan. So therefore I don't need to go off the rails. I don't need to go and, you know, dive into the fried food all at once.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, I could totally go down the nutrition rabbit hole, but we did already do an episode on nutrition for equestrians. So I don't want to spend too much time talking about that. Instead, I want to talk more about workouts. So, you know, like my clients, they work out mostly from home. So we typically incorporate resistance bands in our home workouts, and then they can take those bands with them to the longer horse shows that they go to. So, like, for example, I have a client who is also an AQHA horse show judge. So she's on the road most weekends year round going to horse shows to be a judge. So, you know, with her, like when we had started together, we decided right off the bat, you know, she had said like, oh, I could go get a gym membership. And I suggested like, that's probably not going to be super sustainable for you since you are away from home as often as you're at home. Like it's kind of a 50-50 split. So we need to have a workout plan that she can consistently follow no matter where she is.
Vanessa, talk to me about so these banded workouts that you have your clients do. What is the benefit from the muscle activation and that like that warm up that you get to prevent injuries while your clients are performing? Does that have a big impact? Like if you're using these banded workouts and you're able to engage your glutes, your hamstrings, your quads, Like, how does that translate over to the arena when you guys are performing?
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, anytime that you are doing any kind of strength training and you're doing things correctly and you're really, like, learning about these different movements, you have somebody who's able to take you through these things. Like, you know, we have all of our clients now start with a mobility assessment. So we identify, like, where are some weak links in your joints, in your movement patterns. And then we work through those things in their custom training plan. So we really have a focus on building what you would call mind-muscle connection. So, like, for example, you know, if you're working on doing a movement that's supposed to be targeting your shoulders, you can start to develop the connection to that shoulder to where now you can just be standing there and I can say, hey, Omar, flex your shoulder. Now you can do that. You can flex your shoulder because yeah. you can connect to that muscle group. A lot of people can't do that. They can't, if you tell them like, hey, flex, you know, your lat
your
muscle
pecs.
On your back.
Like I do.
Oh God. Yeah. But like, if you tell somebody flex, you know, whatever muscle and they can connect with it and do that, that's because that they strength train and they identify how to flex that muscle.
And I can't.
Why is that important? Not just so that you can flex in the mirror and like look good like you do. But also,
are you saying I flex in the mirror or are you saying I look good? I'll take both. Whatever.
Sure. Yeah. But it's also, so then now let's say you're riding and you're practicing for the equitation and your trainer saying like, hey, you know, you need to sit up a little bit taller. You need to pull your shoulders back. You need to,
what's
have
an
some
equitation?
More still.
Is it an event? A type of
yeah,
event?
Yeah. It's okay. A type of class. You need to have, you know, your hands a little more still. Like you can actually react to these cues that your trainer is giving you more efficiently, more effectively, because you can connect with that part of your body easier. So you can control that muscle to create that stillness or create that retraction in your shoulders that you need to have that presence in the arena.
Yeah. And what about the effect on injuries? I can't imagine, I mean, how much better your athletes are able to perform, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, gosh, ask any equestrian and it's like probably a 50% chance that she has some sort of back problems.
Yeah.
Because that kind of comes from riding your whole life. And I can tell you right now that, like, you know, you can even talk about this. Like, you've had a lot of back problems from earlier in your years when you didn't quite lift correctly and you injured yourself. And now you know the importance of actually lifting helps with your back. It reduces that pain.
Well, that's what I was getting at was, you know, because I was the, you know, I started CrossFit at like 22 and I was the guy that would walk in there. I was like, I don't need to warm up. Like, I'm good. You know, I'm like, oh, bend over, touch your toes. Boom, I got it. Like, I can, you know, I had decent flexibility. But like you said, when I did not learn how to properly or have a good proper foundation and learn how to get that mind-muscle connection that you're talking about, over time it developed into, yeah, like my hamstrings were super weak. I don't know if you remember, we did a workout at your parents' house maybe 2 years ago or last year or whatever, and I maybe did like two or three of the Romanian deadlifts, and my hamstrings would not let me walk because they mm-hmm. were just so, you know, beat up because I never worked them. Mm-hmm. So yes, that developed into inefficiencies in my body and ultimately led to a herniated disc. And listen, for you guys out there with back problems, it is the most debilitating thing I've ever had. And I mean, quite honestly, I'm not going to say it, but I'm like, look, because I had to get an epidural on my back.
Yeah.
And I was like, I basically know what giving birth is like. But
okay, we need to cut that out from the podcast.
And this is where I get canceled. People are going to be like, he's an idiot.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, it was just
petition
so bad.
To remove Omar from the podcast.
It was just so bad that I was like, this just is awful. And I don't know how girls just get epidurals for pregnancy and stuff. But
yeah,
back problems are terrible.
But yeah, back to working out for equestrians, you know, it's all about consistency. Like when I talk about that, you know, the client who's the judge who travels a lot for shows, like she just packs up her bands, puts them in her suitcase, and then she can pull them out at the hotel and get in a quick 30-minute workout in the morning before she has to even get ready to head to the show. And because she's just been so ruthlessly consistent, it's not like, you know, when she's home, she works out, and then when she's on the road, she doesn't. She just gets her, you know, nice, quick travel workouts done regardless of where she is. And because of that, those, you know, quick, effective band workouts that we've given her paired with, you know, solid nutrition strategies to support that, she's lost 30 plus pounds.
Really?
She looks and feels amazing. So, you know, even if you aren't great at being consistent while you're at horse shows, which I know is a lot of people. I have a lot of clients like this who, you know, we just kind of prefer to take a little bit of a break when they're at shows because it might not be realistic for them to work out when they're at a show. As long as you're being consistent while you're at home, you're building that muscle, you'll maintain that muscle if you need to take a break at the show. That's the amazing part of resistance training, strength training. You can take that time off and it's not going to affect you. You're not suddenly going to get fat. You're not going to like lose all your muscle. Building muscle, it's putting those little deposits in the bank of your long-term health. It increases your energy. It speeds up your metabolism and it improves your health markers. So, you know, essentially, like if you're just consistently strength training when you're at home, you'll have that faster metabolism and, you know, just a healthier body. So you can afford to have the sweet shop cinnamon rolls. Like, ugh, my Court Horse girls know what I'm talking about there. But you can have something like that at the show without it sticking to your body and like suddenly not fitting into your show clothes anymore. Now, but I do want to be clear here. Like if we're talking about the ideal workout plan for an equestrian, like if I could just tell you exactly what to do and there were no other factors aside, like you could do whatever we want. Like ideally you would also be doing a little bit of cardio for heart health. You would also be doing, you know, some yoga for some really great mobility. You'd be doing like some meditation for stress relief. Like there's a whole lot that we could put into
well, that would be the
complete
whole
plan,
right? To make you a whole well-rounded athlete.
Exactly.
What you're talking about, or what you were talking before, was just when you don't have the time to get in a proper workout, right?
Yeah. And just the reality is most horse people don't have the time to do all of that. So we have to prioritize. And if we're prioritizing, weights will always be the most important.
It's a gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah. So let's talk about like what types of movements do we need to be doing? So, you know, if we're creating a workout program, you know, we want to have at least one exercise for each of the major body parts.
Would this be for like the banded workouts that you assign your clients?
Just regardless, in general, for workouts, we need to be having a movement. So like, let's say if we're going to work out, you know, let's say 3 days a week, like I have a lot of girls who are really busy traveling for shows and stuff a lot, that just staying on a nice, solid, effective 3 day a week program works beautifully. So you could do like a 3 day full body program. And so like really over the course of the week for those movements, we just want to be targeting our major muscle groups at least twice in a week. So let's say we're going to have a movement that targets our quads, you know, the fronts of your legs, the fronts of your thighs. We're going to have something that targets your butt and your hamstrings, so like the back of your legs. We need something that targets your chests, your shoulders, your triceps. Those are what you would call your push muscles. We need something that targets your back or your biceps. Those are your pull muscles. And then we need something for your core. So, you know, your core is not just your abs. It's also your lower back. It's your whole, like your whole container attaching your upper body to your lower body. As long as we are covering...
the whole abdomen area.
Yeah, exactly. So as long as we are targeting all of those movements over the course of the week, which that's where I see a lot of issues come in too, of like girls that just find workouts from Instagram or Pinterest, is like, they're always just like, oh, I just want to have a nice butt. So it's every single workout is just like booty builder workout. And all they're ever doing is targeting their butt, and your butt can only handle so much volume. So you're just, after a while, it's just junk volume. You're just not getting anything out of it.
And then what about this? Because I think I learned this from you, is like, if you want a nice butt, and you not only obviously work your glutes and your butt area, but you also work your quads and your hamstrings, that leanness, that muscle that you get in the rest of your leg will just make your butt look that much better and mm-hmm. help it gain that much more muscle, right?
Oh,
so
yeah.
If you only
that's
target
like
one area, mm-hmm. everybody's like, oh, I'm just, you know, I want, like for me, I'm like, I want big shoulders. So then I was like, well, let's just do shoulders. But after a while, you're right. Like your shoulder area, it just gets too much work. And then instead of you tearing down those muscle fibers and actually making them grow, you never let them rest and recover. Mm-hmm. So then what you need to do is work your biceps, your triceps, and that in effect makes your shoulder area look bigger and yeah, more defined.
Exactly. It all
See, works. I'm learning from what you tell me.
I know. It all works together. Like, if seriously, major hack, if you want a better, tighter looking booty, build your hamstrings, because that will just have a more defined tie-in from your glutes, from your butt, into your legs. It'll be like more defined, so you'll have like a nice little bit of a rounder butt. Yeah, exactly. And like same things with really other parts of your body. Like, people talk about wanting to have an hourglass figure. If you want that hourglass figure, yes, like, you could lose weight and just get a little bit smaller in your midsection, but people sometimes will be like, oh, I need to do more ab exercises to get a smaller waist. Doesn't really work like that. But what you can do, build up your lats, your back, and build up your glutes. Now you're actually building the top and the bottom of that hourglass shape, which just the ratio then of your back to your waist and your waist to your butt becomes more of an hourglass figure. That's just a little hack there. So, you know, like, with those movements I was talking about, like, I could list off a bunch of movements to support those different areas. So like, for your quads, you know, we would be talking about doing like squats, lunges, like all the squat variations, like Bulgarian split squats, goblet squats, etc. For your butt and your hamstrings, the backs of your legs, the backs of your body, we got deadlifts, straight leg deadlifts or Romanian deadlifts, glute bridges, good mornings, step ups, like some of those things that they're lower body, but people tend to confuse what is targeting my quads versus what is targeting my butt and my hamstrings. So that's kind of some differentiation there. Then if we talk about your push muscles, so your chest, your shoulders, your triceps, we could do movements like an overhead press, a bench press, like, you know, an incline dumbbell press, push-ups, dips, really anything where you are pushing your body away from something or pushing something away from your body. The pull muscles, so like your back, your biceps, those are going to come from things like rows, all the row variations, you know, bent over rows, body weight rows, chin-ups, pull-ups, all of those pulling movements. And then with your core, you know, we're targeting those abs, that lower back, like that's going to be things like your planks, your side planks, your crunches, mountain climbers, leg raises, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, pick 1 to 2 exercises from each of those categories and just do 3 to 5 sets of those. You know, if it's a body weight or a lightweight movement, you're going to want to aim to do more reps, like somewhere between 12 to 25 reps. If it's a heavy weighted movement, you want to aim for a lower rep range, like 5 to 10 reps. When it comes to resting between sets, something good to know here is just like, the goal is always to rest long enough that you can perform all reps of each set at maximum intensity and still really safely and properly. Because a lot of people tend to think like, oh, I got to get my heart rate really high. And so they'll just move really quickly, turn their strength workout into a HIIT workout, which is now going to be deteriorating the effectiveness of the muscle building. And that's the whole point of these workouts. We want to build that beautiful, defined lean muscle that's going to make you look better on a horse and going to make your metabolism faster and going to make you just feel so much better in your body.
Yeah. Usually when I do like heavy lifts, Vanessa, and I don't know what your thoughts on this are, but like I'll do for, if I'm going more on the 5 to 10 rep range, I usually rest about 3 to 5 minutes in between set or in between, you know, the workout mm-hmm. that I'm doing.
Yeah.
If I'm doing something that's a little bit higher rep, so 12 to 25 reps, I usually rest anywhere between 1 to 2 minutes.
Yeah, perfect. I think that's a really good recommendation there. So, you know, like I just said there, of basically like you want to just have 1 to 2 exercises from each of those categories, do 3 to 5 sets of each, put that together into just like a simple, effective workout. There you go. Repeat that a couple times a week. You know, repeat that formula, not that exact workout. You want to have, if you're
a variation.
Over the course of the week, you want to have probably 2 to 3 different workouts and then repeat those workouts. So that program for several weeks at a time and then switch it up. Basically, if you can follow that routine for, you know, I like to aim for 4 weeks at a time before I switch things up. Then you can just work on continuing to progress from week to week. So if you're focusing on just getting stronger each week, so like when you do that same workout every Monday for the next 4 weeks, each week aim to use a heavier weight or add another rep with the same weight. That's how you know you're building that lean muscle. So it's really that simple. And really to even make this super simple, super easy for our listeners, I'm even going to go ahead and list out an exact workout that you could probably start doing today if you want to. This isn't going to really require any equipment other than resistance bands. You can get resistance bands on Amazon for like $30. So whether you're at home or at a show, you could do this workout. Simple, it's effective, it's quick, and it will absolutely start to improve your physique and your riding with very minimal time commitment.
And I don't care who you are. I think a well thought out resistance band will kick your butt regardless of, you know, how in shape you are or how out of shape you are.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Especially for those who have not been consistent with strength training, starting with resistance bands is a great place to go. Mm-hmm. Once we kind of like max out what we can get out of resistance bands, which takes a good, you know, 6 months or so, then we can start to add in some actual weights. And then you have so much room to grow from that. But let's say, you know, with this workout, I would say start with something like 4 sets of 20 resistance band squats. So that'll be for your quads. It'll help tone up those quads, build some nice strong legs that look good in the saddle. So superset that, meaning you can just do back-to-back sets. So, you know, when you finish your set of your resistance band squats, go ahead and move into a set of this other movement, which I would suggest let's superset it with 4 sets of 15 overhead band presses. So now that's going to be targeting our shoulder. So it's going to give us a nice toned, defined shoulder caps that's going to help your physique, because when we build our shoulders, make them more defined and toned, it immediately makes your arms look leaner and more toned. But it's also going to help give you some really functional strength that's going to translate to your riding and to your just safety and, you know, longevity of just being a horse person. Because if you're a horse person, you know that it's not just about riding. It's also about being able to throw on a heavy Harris saddle onto the back of a tall horse, or being able to lift up a bale of hay or like a bag of feed, or doing all these other things that come along with just like part of the job title. So if you superset the resistance band squats with the overhead band presses, just rest 60 seconds between sets and repeat. Then I would say let's move to addressing your backside. So let's do 4 sets of 20 resistance band glute bridges. That's going to give you a nice, you know, definition, beautiful, rounded glutes, tight hamstrings. But it's also going to help you have a tighter seat in the saddle. So like Omar, you asked earlier, which muscle group do I think we need to be targeting the most for equestrians? And really, it's that whole lower body. It's not just about our legs. We tend to think about like, okay, I want to have really strong legs in the saddle. I want to be that girl who's known as having like the tightest legs in the hunt seat, where like if they tell us to drop our irons, I know I'm going to crush it. I'm going to rock that because my legs are freaking tight in the saddle. It's not just about having strong legs to get you there. It's also going to require you to have strong glute muscles. When you're trying to sit tight on a really bouncy horse, your glutes are working hard to keep you stuck there. So something to consider there for sure. But I would superset that with 4 sets of 15 resistance band rows. So, you know, we're talking about rows here. Like you could put your resistance band around a doorknob or around a stall door if you want to do this workout outside at the barn. But you're just going to row the resistance bands toward your body and really work on retracting those shoulders, retracting using those back muscles. I freaking love rows because a lot of girls tend to forget about addressing their back. We're usually so focused on just what we see in the mirror, which is like our shoulders and our arms. But we don't realize that by building a strong back, we can absolutely totally change our physique. A lot of us actually have what I would just call forward shoulder. So think about it. Like, what do you do most of your life? You're either riding a horse and developing probably some sort of back problems that just cause you to be a little bit more hunched when you're not riding, or you're sitting at a desk hunched over a computer, or just like sitting somewhere hunched over your phone. We're always hunched forward. That's just like the unfortunate reality of our population here in 2021. So many of us have forward shoulders and a rounded back. Our neck tends to naturally jut a little bit more forward. But if you work on doing more rows and more and just strengthening those back muscles, you're going to naturally find that, you know, someone's going to snap a candid photo of you and you're going to be blown away because you're going to realize that you now naturally carry yourself with your shoulders a little bit more pulled back. And think about it. When your shoulders are pulled back, what happens?
Your stomach.
Yep. So your chest comes up a little bit and your stomach comes in a little bit. So without even like losing any weight, you can actually make it look like you just dropped 10 pounds.
Yeah, because it doesn't let you have that like pooch like figure in your stomach area.
Exactly. It makes such a big difference. And, you know, not to mention that just by strengthening our backs, like we said, it's going to be huge for preventing injury. So if you already have some back injuries or you just want to prevent them from occurring down the road, doing your rows, building your backs may be super, super important. Finally, though, for this little workout, I would finish it off with a little superset for some accessory muscles here. So let's do 4 sets of 15 resistance band bicep curls, 4 sets of 15 resistance band tricep pull downs, and we'll do a 30 to 60 second max front plank. And in that plank, I always encourage people, you know, really think about like vacuuming in your stomach. Think about really contracting those muscles. I remember back in college, we would have like with our workouts, we would do like plank competitions and people would like hold the planks for like 6 minutes at a time. But like, yeah, people would get super competitive. But like, that's the thing. You were not doing a plank that's like effective for actually building your core muscles.
Oh.
If you can hold a plank for that long, you know, it's like we all were like finding ways to just like,
you slouch, yeah, basically, and you're,
yeah,
like,
exactly. Yeah. So you're not actually engaging your core.
Yeah,
like
so bring your butt up, squeeze your butt, and like you said, engage that core, that stomach area.
Yeah, yeah. So not necessarily bring your butt up, but just think about pulling your belly button to your spine.
Oh, there you go.
So really just like with this last little superset here, we're really working some smaller muscle groups in your arms, in your core, but those are going to be really, really huge for that mind-muscle connection that we talked about. So next time your trainer says like, hey, you got to keep your hands more still on that bouncy horse, you'll actually be able to do that because now you can connect with those arm muscles that help stabilize that motion, and it's going to help keep your hands a little bit more still. And same thing with your core. Of course, we all want to have a nice core because we just want to look really lean and tall and up on our horse, but this will also tremendously help your riding. Like when you're doing something like, you know, you're doing a 2-point in equitation, your core is what is going to keep you from just like shimmying from left to right. Or, you know, if you do reining and you're like doing a super fast spin and you're just going to lope right out of it, you need to be able to have a freaking strong core to prevent your body just from like rotating completely from left to right and not being able to control your seat on that horse. So I hope that this workout was helpful for somebody. If anybody does end up going out and doing this, or if you need some clarity on what to be doing here, shoot me a DM. I would love to hear from you, hear how this works out for you. But anything to add here, Omar?
No, I guess I'll even volunteer because I know that was a lot. I'll write the workout like you have on here, or what you explained. And if you guys DM Vanessa or I, I'll be happy to shoot you over the actual workout so you don't have to re-listen to the episode a whole bunch of times just to be like, oh, let me write down what she said. So I'll do that. And then if you want to add a link to the bands that you recommend from Amazon,
yeah,
you know, DM
absolutely.
Vanessa or me, and we'll be happy
to. We can put that in the description of the episode too.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Awesome. All right, guys. Well, I hope this was helpful for you. If you found this helpful, please do me a favor, share a screenshot of this episode on your Instagram story, spread the love, help out more horse girls who might be not working out correctly to be able to look and perform their best. They might be wasting a little bit of their time, or they might just be stuck feeling like they just have no idea what to do. So help a girl out. Share this episode.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Thanks for listening. If you learned something today, the best way to say thank you is to subscribe to the podcast and leave a 5-star review in iTunes. And if this particular episode resonated with you, do me a favor and take a screenshot and share it on your Instagram story. Don't forget to tag me at Vanessa G Fitness so I can show you some love. All right, my carb queens, talk to you in the next episode.